Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just praise you, Lord, for directing us. I praise you, Lord, for leading us in these fellowships. I thank you, Lord, that tonight is no different, that you're going to lead each and every one of us, Lord. And I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for the prayers that you've answered for us. And Father, we just love you. We love you so much. We want to do what you want us to do, Lord, and help us to do that, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for sending out your angels to correct the wrongs done in this country. I thank you, Lord, that it looks as though the red wave is fixing to take over. And Lord, I just praise you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for helping all of your children, your chosen, Lord, to understand what may be happening here in the next little bit. And we just praise you, Lord, that everything that does happen is for one purpose, that's to glorify you, because it couldn't be done without you, Lord. I just know that. I know that. That you put this man as president in office for one reason. That's because we've been praying. That's because and you've kept him from harm's way because of our prayers. And Lord, I just praise you and I glorify you. And I thank you for leading us tonight, Father, in all that we do and the things that are accomplished tonight in our lives, Lord. It's because of you. It's nothing that we can do. It all stems back to our love and our devotion to you, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. I know we stumble at times. And we get off course at times. But we still love you. And we're stumbling forward, Lord. I want you to know we're stumbling forward. We're not stumbling backwards. We're stumbling forward. And we get up. You pick us back up and you put us right back on that narrow road. And Lord, I just thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, the work that you're doing in everybody here tonight, and that it will all show in the days to come, the light that you put in us and the victory that you've given us and the word itself that will come out of us from studying your word and to help disciple disciples in the coming years. And I praise you, Lord, that you're still the guiding force in each of our lives. Lord, I just ask that tonight you lead us into those things that you want us to talk about, and that we would do it faithfully, and that we'd do it by your word. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. I want to, I don't know if any of you or all of you or some of you have heard that in the morning around 2:30, I think it's 2:38 they said, I believe that's right, I could be mistaken on the exact minute, that there's going to be a nationwide emergency broadcast on the telephone. And during that broadcast, they say it's going to be a test. But we've gotten word that it's not going to be a test. Don't know. You know, I don't know if it's not or what. But that it's going to be an actual warning that we're going into martial law. And they're telling us, they're warning these places. We've gotten them in two different areas. They're warning us. Q's put it out. And also another place. I can't remember the name of it. But anyway. Stay in your homes for the next 3 or 4 days. And don't go out, because there's going to be a nationwide roundup by the military of all the wrongdoers. And Joe Brent, your country's fixing to be freed up, it looks like. It looks like the worldwide people of right are going to take care of that situation as well. Yeah, so we just pray. I don't know, you know, I don't know. I'm just telling you, I'm just relaying messages. It's to inform you to be ready, whatever happens. You know, we always have to be ready and alert at all times. So if it happens at 2:30 and you get a call and it says, this is a test, don't worry about it. If it says this is not a test, you don't have to worry about it either. Just know that God's working. And it's going to be a lot of, according to what the sources that we've gotten, it may be a lot of bloodshed. But it's going to be a military roundup of all the deep state politicians, bankers, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, I don't know how all that works, but it's not going to be. They've got well over 50,000 sealed indictments, they say, that are going to be unsealed all at once. And then the RV is going to also take place in the next few days. Some of you know what that is. If you don't know what it is, don't worry about it. So that's kind of what all I wanted to just say just right at the moment. So if you get a loud noise, like what is that alert that you get on your phone all the time? Amber Alert. It's going to be something similar to that, where they can take control of your phone, and it don't make any difference whether you're in a good place or a bad place. You're going to get the alert. So I don't know how to do that, but that's some of that government magic, I guess. Anyway, all right. Anybody got any questions about that? Yeah, Joe.
Did you hear 2:30 a.m. is what you're saying? P.M.? You said about
2:30. No, a.m. In the morning. Okay. Okay. In the morning, this coming morning.
Yeah, I remember hearing the same stuff.
I think it was 2:38, if I'm not mistaken. And okay. I was wrong once, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. I could be wrong now.
Yeah, I heard the third.
Y'all know why I'm kidding, don't you?
Yeah.
I've been wrong a whole lot more since.
I heard the same thing recently, and I heard it's the third, and so that's a little more information that I haven't heard. So, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Let's go ahead and get started. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
So, I'm sorry, I did not hear this whole process, but it's being reported that it is a warning for everybody to stay in their homes.
Is that right? It's a warning that. Martial law. How many of you know that we're already under martial law? Yeah, we're already under martial law. But this is going to be an emergency broadcast that he's been advertising for weeks now, that it's going to happen, or maybe even months. And Trump says it's going to be a message that tells us it's a test on your cell phones, an emergency test message on your cell phone that we're under martial law, and just a test message is what Trump said, and that everybody will receive it that has their phone on. I guess I don't know if it's on or off. I don't know. I don't know how that works, but maybe they can do it even while it's off if you got a smartphone. But the sources that we've been looking at the last few days is telling us that it's going to be the real thing, and that the deep state is going to be rounded up and brought to justice. And there's a lot more to it that I can't get into for time reasons. You can go on the web and look it up. Q has a lot on it. Stan Johnson has some on it. You all know who Stan Johnson, the Prophecy Club, and also I can't think of the other guy. Anyway, you can find it on the web. But anyway, that's what's going on. It's a warning, or it could be the real thing. And they tell us if it's a real thing, he'll tell us it's a real thing. And also, what's going to come out is that they're going to warn you to stay inside for 3 or 4 days while they do all this. It's going to be a lot of bloodshed, according to this source, because you know as well as I do, the deep state's not going to give up easy. They're not going to just roll over and play dead. And they've got a bunch of lackeys out there that don't mind killing folks. And but the military is going to be in control. And according to what we've been reading, they're going to do it all at once. And after this 3 or 4 days is over, it's going to be starting back. Now, Trump's going to have absolute control for a while. They're reassuring us that it's going to be okay. He wants to take us back to the Democratic Republic that we used to be, where the banks were not controlled and the deep state weren't controlling everything and everybody. And there's another society. It's kind of like the white witch and the black witch. You know what I'm talking about? The black witch being the evil witch and the white witch being the good witch, kind of a thing. I don't know if I can say much more than that, other than just understand, and it's going to be a good thing that God's doing through Trump and these forces that are at work. And from what I understand, it's going to be happening in other countries too. So, but it's all going to revert back to one system. Banking thing. In other words, there's not going to be money anymore. It's just going to be a card that you get that the banks will honor. They don't have nothing to do with it other than the fact that they're controlled now by this new central banking system thing. And we understand that it's going to lead to the mark, but for the first 3.5 years, it's going to be cool. It's going to be good. But then after that, y'all know what the Lord says in the Word. But anyway, I'm just throwing that out there for you. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I just want to warn you. If you get that warning and it says no, it's not a warning. Just understand what's fixing to take place. And it's nothing to be anxious about. I know you got milk and bread in the refrigerator. Maybe some bologna. That's good. Bologna's good. Things like that. I had just a little story. I had some leftover bologna. It was about that thick. I got some that wasn't sliced out. David always making fun of me and my bologna. And I boiled it up. When I was a kid, Mother used to do that. She'd boil up bologna. And I boiled it up, and I called him and Brandy in. I said, "Look, y'all come on here. I've got something good to eat today." they got in there. David looked at it and said, "What is that?" I said, "That's bologna." He said, "You boiled it?" I said, "Yeah, it's good. Go on, get you a piece of it." And we got out there on the front porch and we was eating it. Brandy wasn't going to eat because he had another commitment. And David said, "You understand where bologna comes from, don't you?" I said, "Yeah, and I don't want to hear it." He said, "It comes from the slaughterhouse floor, where they sweep up everything and throw it in the same pot and make bologna out of it." I said, "Well, it's still good." "It don't make no, never mind. It's still good." But anyway, that's just, he likes it too. Don't let him kid you. He'll eat it. Okay. All right. Now we can get back to work. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? You got one, Pat? Oh, okay. You muted back up. How about a testimony, a praise report? I will tell you that Missy made it here. We went over to the Burps, a local restaurant here, and ate with her. And we had a good time. I was able to spend a little bit of time over there with him. Had a good time with her. She had a good trip down. You know, we prayed for her. She had a good trip down. It was nothing smooth driving all the way. Yeah, we praise God for her to being down here without getting any problem. All right. Testimonies, prayer report. Anybody got anything? Barbara, how are you doing, girl? Okay, Tim, go ahead, brother.
Well, this is kind of indirect, but it touched me when I read it. It was on Fox News, and just on their world headline or U.S. headlines, it was under opinion. So I found it was under religion, but it was about what we've been talking about for answered prayers and prayers. And this guy, Joshua Rogers, attorney in New York, and that's really all I know about him. Got a minute, I'll read the article if you'd like.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. It started at the TV. Oh, I stared at the TV and fought back the tears while watching an interview with American missionaries, Gracia and Martin Burnham, who were haggard, filthy, and appeared to be disoriented. The couple, who were missionaries in the Philippines, spent one night in 2001 at a resort to celebrate their 18th wedding anniversary. That evening, they were kidnapped by terrorists, and a year later, they were being dragged through the Philippine jungle. Their captors had given the journalists a rare access to interview the Burnhams. For the couple, it was an opportunity to show their family members they were still alive. For the terrorists, it was an opportunity to generate ransom money. The Burnhams were despondent and appeared to believe they had been forgotten, that there was no hope that they would ever be, that they would ever see their children again. "We need someone to show some mercy," Gracia pleaded. This is no way to live. There is no way to take care of yourself. Last night I woke up with severe chest pains, and there's nothing you can do. You just lay there and you're in pain. We have sores in our mouths because there's no nutrition in the food we're eating," she said. "We have sores on our legs. Nobody cares about that here. I felt I had to do something to help, and praying was all I could do. So I went to my room, got down on my knees, and asked God to rescue the Burnhams and to give them strength to keep going in the meantime. I also made a commitment to pray until they returned home. As the months went by, I was haunted by Gracia's gaunt face and the sound of her quivering voice. It motivated me to pray again and again. Please, God, let them know we're praying. Let them know we haven't forgotten them. When I didn't see anything in the news for a while, I made a simple request in addition to the first, that God would let me know what happened to them. But as time passed, my prayers became less frequent and more perfunctory. Even so, I figured that listless prayers were better than no prayers at all. 6 months after I began praying, and 18 months after the Burnhams had been kidnapped, God answered the second prayer. I heard a news report on Christian radio that the Philippine Army attempted to rescue the Burnhams, but only Gracia made it out alive. Martin died from 3 gunshots to the chest. The news was bittersweet and strangely personal. Though I had never met the couple or their children, praying for them left me feeling like I had gotten to know them, that I had played a minuscule part in getting Gracia home. 1 year later, I got a call from the local Christian bookstore. In my one visit to the store, I had apparently entered my name in a raffle, and they drew it from the fishbowl. They wanted me to come in and claim my reward. The young lady across the counter handed me a bundle, which included a Christian CD and a hardbound book, In the Presence of My Enemies by Gracia Burnham. It was a full retelling of what had happened to Martin, to her and Martin in the jungle. I didn't even know she had written a book. As I drove home, I marveled that God had seen fit not only to let me know what became of the Burnhams, but to make sure I read Gracia's own description of what they had survived. At home, I opened the book, and on the first page, Gracia wrote, "This book is dedicated to you. If you prayed for Martin and me while we were in captivity, even once, and put your name here, it is because of your prayers that I came out alive, and I'm able to tell the story. Likewise, I hope to become one who earnestly prays and cares for others who are hurting. We truly need each other, don't we? Yes, I thought to myself, as my eyes watered up, we do. Gracia needed me to pray when she felt hopeless and alone. I needed Gracia to remind me that even when my prayers feel dry and useless, God listens, God cares, and God answers.
Amen. Prayer does work. We've seen that ourselves. Praise God. All right. Somebody else. Who was it? Was that you, George? Raise your hand. Okay, go ahead, brother.
I just felt like we're the ones with the authority and power to help this transition out and standing against the enemy and any last Hail Mary pass that they want to throw or anything like that to disrupt the order that is supposed to come forward. I know God's in control, and whatever's going to happen, he's got it. But I do want to just come against fear, and that truth would break through. I actually want to just pray that, Father, in the name of Jesus, that the blinders would come off of people's eyes, and this, and the spirits of confusion and the spirits of fear, whatever it is that keeps people from receiving truth, that you would open your grace for a period of time, that when these things happen and these evildoers are hauled away, that the story will not get perverted and twisted, and that people will receive truth. And for some, it's going to be like the first taste of truth they've had in a long time, because everything that comes to them gets twisted. So, Father, I just thank you that right now there is a light coming across the land and coming throughout the world, that your truth is prevailing, and that people have an opportunity to make decisions based on reality and not based on lies from the enemy. And, Father, I just ask that you would give grace and abundance, that we know that darkness much abounds, and that darkness is being exposed, and your grace is abounding more. So there's opportunity for harvest. There's opportunity for seeds to be planted. And, Father, I just ask that every person in the body of Christ would be ready in season and out of season to have a word and be involved in the harvest, and not lose this opportunity, Father, and not to miss our visitation, that you want to live in us and touch the world right now, regardless of what's going to happen in the future and the testing and the trials, that this is a time of great joy and life. And I thank you, Father, that everybody that needs to be equipped is being equipped, that your supernatural gifts are flowing through your body, that you are fitting the bricks of your temple together, and that the gates of hell shall not prevail against your holy people, and that this is a remarkable time, a historic time for you and your plans and everything that Christ died and gave us, Lord. Let us get involved. Let us be in, you know, if we're praying, we're praying. If we're talking and able to minister, if we are able to show hospitality, let us be ready to do unusual things in the harvest. And, Father, I just thank you again for truth, and that these spirits of fear and everything else have got to be set aside for a time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we all hook our faith up with George, and we believe that this is going to happen in the name of Jesus. And we command fear, anxiety, stress out of everybody. Don't worry about nothing, because God's in control. We thank you, Father, that we have that assurance in you. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Y'all remember what happened at Jericho? Same thing. We start praising God for the victory. We just start praising God for the victory. We blow them horns for the next 7 days. I'm just saying that, you know, euphemistically. In the name of Jesus, Lord, and I thank you for the victory that your angels are out there doing the job. I know one angel is out there, Jeriel. And Jeriel, we thank you for doing this job in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Whew, glory be to God. I tell you what, I get excited when I know God's in control. He is in control. Amen. I want to do one prayer for you, before I get anybody else, so I don't forget it. One of the ladies here had a dream about my grandson, Blake. Y'all remember, some of you remember. And that he had, he was 3 years old and he drank some poison. And I had seen him drinking that poison. And it was some kind of fertilizer or something, I don't know. But anyway, went over there and I yanked it out of his mouth and washed his mouth out with soap. We got it all done. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I know you send these dreams to us as a warning for us to be praying against them. And in the name of Jesus, I rebuke what the devourer has in mind for Blake. And I cast down any kind of works against Blake in the name of Jesus right now. And Father, I thank you for drawing him mightily into the kingdom. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for bringing him out here where we've had many dreams of him coming out here and being an evangelist. And Father, I praise you for it. And I thank you for it, Lord. You know, Lord, I often go back to the time back when he was, oh, 5, 6, 7 years old. I don't remember how old quite he was, but he was just a young little boy. And that you had told me, I just had a knowing in me that you were going to make an evangelist out of a mighty man of God out of it. And I've known that for a long time, and I'm holding you to it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Got a prayer request or a testimony? Or a comment? Or a dream? Or a vision, or a word from God. Dave's got a word from God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's go.
So I had a couple of years ago, I had that dream. And it was whenever the RV happened. That's shortly after that, the anointing came on everybody. At least on me. And I'm sure it was the message that not just me, it'd be others. That's when we received the... That last anointing from the Holy Spirit, you know, you'll have all sorts of power, and it'll be the complete anointing in the Holy Spirit with overflowing. You would be over your head in water. It'll be deep, deep water, very deep, and it'll happen fast. So I just know if the RV happens, the anointing is going to come shortly after that.
Okay, question. How long is shortly after that?
I was up on the mountain in the classroom, and we were all being taught. And I was real excited, you know, anxious, excited, just thrilled to be there. And the first lesson we had to learn was the rest in the Holy Spirit.
Patience.
We all had to be put in a bed and rest and wrapped in the Holy Spirit. And then after that, they got me up, and I wasn't in the classroom setting anymore. I was sitting there, and I was told I had to count the currencies. And I said I didn't want to touch it because it was defiled. I didn't want to touch the money. And they said, it's okay. We have to equalize the currencies. And after the currencies were equalized, then I was put into a car that I didn't drive, but I was in a driver's seat, and I went down the mountain. It drove itself down the mountain, and it was a pretty beautiful day on the mountain. up on the mountain of God, because it was God's classroom and the angels all around helping. And once I got down the mountain, car went flying into the woods, and it was dark, and trees were whizzing by me hundreds of an inch from me. And I was probably doing 100 miles an hour. It was so fast. And it was breathtaking the whole time, what was happening. And I wasn't driving. The car was driving itself. I was just sitting there. Got on the bottom of the mountain, shot across a little bit of a beach onto a dock, and the car the whole time's driving itself with the lights on. When I got down and at the bottom there, it was totally pitch black dark. Hardly, there was no lights. Only lights was from the car at this time. Lights came on automatically and shot me out into this deep water. And it just shot me a long ways away from the shore, and the car crashed into water and it sunk underneath the water. And I was underneath the water in this car, and I was thinking, I got to get out of this car because it's sinking to the bottom, and I'm already under the water at this point. The minute I thought it, I was out of the water and then and swimming around in the lake. And I thought, wow, this is cool. And it was nice and warm, sunny. I mean, not sunny, but summerish kind of. I'm looking around. Everything's dark. I could see the mountain in the distance. I can just look at the shorelines and everything. The whole world was dark. And I thought, well, I got to get back out of this lake. I can't sit here forever. I get to that dock. The minute I thought it, I was at the dock. I'm looking at the bottom of the dock. I'm thinking, wow, that was interesting. I'm from a middle lake into the dock. And I thought, well, I got to get out of the water. The minute I thought I had to get out of the water, I was sitting on top of the dock, totally dry. But it just been totally immersed in water and just sitting there and just taking it all in. That's the dream. That's what I saw. The time that we were in the classroom, we were being tended to by the angels, and we are learning the things of God and taking it all in. So, but once the RV happened, the anointing happened too, shortly after that.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things that I noticed in there. One, do you have it written down somewhere that you could send us?
Yeah, I sent that in once. Oh, David, I'd have to look over and find it.
No, that's okay. If you've got it in there, he's got a catalog somewhere. He'll find it.
You know, I'm not a good writer. Kind of wordy, probably. You know, stumbling on things. But that was a couple years ago. I had that dream. Maybe I didn't understand it then, but once we started talking about the RV, then I knew, oh, well, okay. Because it did, I knew quick this wasn't a dream. It felt like I was there, it was happening, you know. So.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that I noticed is that it was warm. So that could be, you know, if it starts, the RV starts this week, you know, if that happens this week, it could be next summer before the anointing, which, you know, God, when he says very soon, man, that could be, that's a long time, but he's told us quickly he's coming, and he's coming in his man child. That's why I was trying to pin you down as to when it was. So it could be the next summer, you know, which is just a few months away. That more in line, that falls in line to what we already surmise anyway. So, okay. That's a good dream. I'm going to have to tell David to look that one up. Get it back out, because it kind of helps solidify some other things that other people have gotten. Yeah, Joe.
Well, I guess that was, I was kind of hesitant to think. I sent you that text this morning. I don't know if that was a vision or what that was, but I think, Dave, you shared that and talked about the mountain of God. Let me share what I saw first. And then I'd like to talk about, I've heard David bring up a couple times in past streams, what exactly is the RV? I'd like to talk about that for a little bit, get a understanding of what exactly that is. I think he talked about a jet, like a airliner, and even an RV in some past streams people have had, I think a month or two ago. I've heard that. I'm not too familiar with what that is, but I'd like to talk about that.
Go ahead. Hang on. The RV is the reevaluation of the money system in the world.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. That's where the Zimbabwe Zen, which you can buy millions of them for a dollar, you know, something like that. I don't know what the exchange rate is, will be equal to the dollar when they get through. In other words, one zen, $1.
Okay.
One denarii is $1. Dong, a Vietnamese dong, is $1.
Okay.
And that's what that means. Everybody's going to start out on equal. What it's going to do, it's going to take a lot of people out of debt. It's going to equalize the wealth in the world. And it's actually going to be a short-lived good thing.
Yeah. You know?
So that's what the RV is in a nutshell.
Level playing field, pretty much. Okay. Okay. But yeah, I sent you that text this morning, and I think, I had to wonder if that was, I was outside this morning. We've got a drop lot where we load trailers, you know, that are brought in. It was about 7:30 in the morning or so. And, it looked like, you know, I mean, I was like, because I know what a chemtrail looks like. I mean, the chemtrails, I'm sure they spray them all over the place where you guys are at. I mean, they're spraying them everywhere. I don't know about South Africa where you are, Joe, but here in America, I mean, they spray chemtrails in the air everywhere. Doesn't matter if you're in the big city or the outside in the country or anywhere. I mean, they're spraying them everywhere. And, you know, like, I mean, you can tell the difference between a regular cloud and a chemtrail. And this looked like an angel in the sky painted a picture. I mean, it was pretty wild. I mean, I've never seen something that like detailed and just kind of, you know, look very picturesque. And as I was standing outside, I was putting a safety device, you know, we put over the airline of a trailer just for our own safety benefit. And I looked outside, I was looking up in the air. I think I was looking to the, it was the south, I believe, or the north. And I looked and I saw what looked like partially like a mountain range. You know, it wasn't like that, I guess, the mountain peaks, but the trail or whatever that kind of leads up the mountain, or you have like the two peaks and you have that section between it that almost looks like a wall, you know, kind of leads between one mountain range or one mountain peak to the other. It looked, like I said, it looked like an angel just kind of painted it in the sky. It was so detailed. I looked at these, I mean, it looked like chemtrails. I mean, that's the only thing I think that I saw, you know, these fake manufactured clouds is what they look like, you know, for those who don't know. But, and then I looked off to the east, you know, I looked to my left and it, you know, as the sun was rising, I mean, it was off in the distance, but it looked like it was yellowish. You got that yellowish orange, tint to the sky, and it looked like I saw like a fire, like, you know, there was just like fire, and I could make out a certain like face in the clouds. It looked like a demonic face or something very evil and sinister, you know, and I just looked at it. You could see the eyes. I mean, it wasn't very detailed, but it was enough to say, well, that looks like a face, you know. It had a very sinister look to it, and I thought I saw another face. It looked very tormented, you know, just very tormented and troubled, you know, above that face. And then I, you know, I began to look around the sky too. I just was, you know, looking around, think, wow, I've never seen anything like this. And a couple minutes later, I looked back to what it looked like. I don't know if that was a lake of fire or what that was. I mean, just, you know, I saw that face. And as I looked back a couple minutes later, that face was gone. It was just a bunch of like, you know, chemtrail clouds all together. And, you know, like I said, I mean, look, I mean, I could, you know, think, hey, it looks like a lake of fire because it had that, the sun rising, you know, it had orangish yellowish color there. And I was thinking, wow, that looks like fire. You know, I saw little clouds with the way they were formed. It looked like fire was breaking out, you know, like, I mean, in this picture. So, I mean, you know, I just wanted to share that, you know, Dave, how you brought up the idea of the mountain of God. I kind of, that's the first thing that came to my mind. You know, I've heard that the mountain of God. I'm like, huh, I wonder if that's what, if that was a vision. I mean, I've never really had a vision that I could tell this is a vision, you know, but I saw this and I just was sitting there thinking, huh, what is this? So, you know, I wanted to share that. So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, I was just going to mention something about the revaluation. that okay, Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, Michael.
There's a lot of detail that, of course, you can't get into here, but there's this whole thing was conceived about 40 years ago, and by a lot of world leaders, and because they could tell just the mathematics alone that things, that the way things were currently going, it couldn't go forever. So they've been planning to do this for some time. More recently, when the Kuwait revaluation happened, there's a number of folks that that thought, well, no, wait, if we can do that with Kuwait, why not with other countries? So right now, the country of Iraq is kind of driving the and I'm not an authority on this, but I've just been listening a little bit. There's two things. There's the revaluation of individual currencies, but in what's called a basket. But then there's the global currency reset, which is kind of how everything migrated to this huge global currency reset, which is for all countries, or at least a lot of countries, like Michael was saying. So today there was a vote. Iraq is the one driving everything, but in the past, the U.S., the IMF, and the U.S. Treasury have said no when Iraq tried to go. It seems like the IMF and the U.S. is the one kind of giving the last word as to what can happen in regard to this. But anyway, on the Iraqi president was selected today, and things have been, they've been kind of waiting for this to happen, the Iraqi government to be established after this last election. And so today the president was selected, and also the president has selected his prime minister, or the prime minister. So apparently that's been done. So it's hard to imagine anything else being in the way other than just a decision being made that, okay, because everything else is kind of done. But Friday night, by the way, bank screens were showing, for instance, for $100,000, the $100 trillion note from Zimbabwe's money, it was showing basically $22 million for one of those notes. And then suddenly it started flashing at $55 million, and then it went gray. Whatever that means. I'm not a banker, and I don't know what their screens look like. So that's just what I heard. And then something similar happened with the Iraqi dinar. So there's still, those screens are still, the numbers are still gray, I understand, on bank screens. So, but the banks are basically ready for this. So we'll just see. This has been going on for, many, many years, to the tune of 11, as far as this actual Iraqi dinar. There are other currencies involved too. So that's the news from Lake Wobegon.
Okay. Thank you, Malcolm. Malcolm's been following it for a little while longer than me. I just know the basics of it. Yeah, there's all kinds of currencies involved in it. The big ones is the Zimbabwe Zen, the Iraqi dinar, the Vietnamese dong, and there's more, but that's the main one that I know about.
Yeah, the Indonesian rupiah and the Afghani. The Iran currency was in there, but after the last hubbub, they've taken that out of the basket. So
they're acting ugly.
Yeah, Iran's currency, the rial or whatever, is no longer included in the basket.
Okay.
I think part of the big, the reason possibly if there is going to be a big crackdown, this has been going on in Iraq too, but they're trying to deal with the corrupt people before this happens, because once this happens, it could really empower a lot of the people who are, you know, thieves and stealing and all the other stuff, corruption, all the other things.
Well, so
that makes sense that if they would want to do a little bit of cleaning house before something like this happens here in the States, because obviously we have a problem here. So,
well, if you remember just a few months ago that Saudi Arabia cleaned house and a couple of other Middle Eastern countries cleaned house, they put a bunch of them in jail in their government. And I believe that's the same thing that's going on here. Now, Trump is behind this. He's the one that's the guiding force now. I understand. I don't know that, but that's what I'm told. Go ahead, Tim.
Is that me?
Yeah.
We're talking about this. So looking at an article on Natural News of September 26th of this year, and it explains how all this is going to come down. It's too long to read here, but it talks about the executive orders that are in place and what exactly is going to happen. It's the title of the article is kind of, signed executive orders reveal Trump is planning mass arrests. But if somebody wants to get a lowdown of what at least Mike Adams think is going on, it's a 10-minute read, but it's got a lot of information in there.
Amen.
Tim, can you post it on the chat room there?
Of my pay grade. How about I show you a picture?
What's the name of the article?
Is that something you can Google or what?
It's on Natural News, the website Natural News.
Okay.
And dated September 26th.
Is that Mike Adams's?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the title of the article is called Signed Executive Orders Reveal Trump is Planning Arrest. But it goes into detail about his authority and the crime and executive order authority and military authority and stuff that's going to be unveiled. So just give you a little, you can research a little bit of it yourselves there.
By the way, Malcolm, I don't know if you know this or not, but if this is not a test to this in the morning, and that's the real thing, the 800 number will be posted as well. So,
what was that again? Something would be something as well.
Oh, well, if you didn't get it the first time, buddy, you got to be listening, okay? You understand what I'm saying?
I was incapacitated.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I said the 800 number would be posted if it's not a test.
Oh, okay. What?
I'm talking about on the emergency broadcast in the morning.
Oh, really?
Also, yeah, it's not going to be a 30-second. It's going to be a 30-minute broadcast.
Better get to bed early.
Well, yeah.
So we can get up and appreciate it all.
Keep your cell phone by your ear, because if it does it like that Amber Alert, it'll wake you up. that Amber Alert wakes me up, too. Amen.
Well,
they give that 800 number out, and you'll only have just a few weeks to redeem what you got. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, a lot of Christians have these things that people have given, and God is going to empower His people that are out there to get the gospel out. He's going to take riches from the rich and give it to his people. And this might be good.
We're just going to have to be led by the Lord, because we don't know what the best time is. There's a lot of thinking that it might be a good idea to wait until things settle down. But we just don't know what world events are or anything. There's too many variables. So that there's
well, the best thing to do is call the 800 number, get you an appointment, and then do whatever it is. Now, I understand it's not going to be money that's going to be transferred. It's going to be you get a card that shows that you have this money.
They've been pushing this in Iraq and India and other countries, a huge effort to try to get people away from currency and into having cards. And it's been a really hard sell in some of these countries, like Iraq, and in where people hide their currency under their bed or whatever. And India, where they have a lot of people just keep their money in gold and jewelry and things like that. So, yeah. Well, but anyway, the Lord will have to lead because it's just too complex.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Pat.
Malcolm, what is the general principle behind what they're trying to accomplish in reevaluation in this process?
Can I tell you in a nutshell?
Sure.
Take the money away from the cabal and put it in a central location to where the people themselves will have the power over it rather than the people like the Fed, people like the bankers, the Rothschilds, and all of that. Taken away from the state.
Yeah, I think you're right, Michael. I mean, in principle, that's what's, you know, the whole Federal Reserve, which is not anything but federal, and the foundations on which it was established literally were a Canaanite altar. It's just the depth of the wickedness in the banking system is just incredible. So
the one of the criteria, Pat, for to get your money, if you have millions and millions of dollars coming to you because of these things that you've bought and now it's worth something, that one of the criteria is what you're going to use it for. And the thing that they want to hear is that you're going to rebuild, you're going to help poor people, you're going to help rebuild your community around you, you're going to help the homeless find homes, you're going to, you know, that kind of thing. It's going to be a humanitarian type of thing that they want to hear about. They want to hear about who's going to do what with that money. And if you don't have a plan, you know, you may have a little trouble. But if you have something in your mind that you want to do, you know, I want to buy low-income housing for people. I want to build low-income housing or buy housing and use it for low-income, you know, that kind of thing. That's what it's for.
Yeah, I think with there's kind of a requirement there for if you're getting the contract rate, which is ridiculously high for the Zimbabwe or Iraqi or any of the others. But if you're just doing a straight exchange, I think they're not going to be quite as picky. But the Zimbabwe, if you try to go contract rate, there's a 90-day waiting period. You've got to have – it has to be through a Zimbabwe charity or organization. It has to be approved by the government there, and it's very complex, and there's some people that are just wanting to shy away from it, any kind of contract rate with Zimbabwe because for one thing, who knows what could happen to the country. So
well, yeah, that's
so
true.
It just has to be led by the Lord, you know. It's just too much.
They have said that the Zen note would take precedent, you know. They're wanting to find out who has the Zen notes over here. And they are requesting that they let them know up front if what kind of bills they want to exchange.
Yeah. When you call the 800 number, unless you have a wealth manager, yeah.
Like Pat, there's people that have trillion Zen notes. Guess what that's going to relate to? Like Richard Nixon, billions and billions of dollars. Billions of dollars. Maybe trillion. I don't know. I don't know. That's all over my head, brother. But like Malcolm said, most of them just have, you know, a couple of million here, a million there. You know, I'm saying that not being light about it, but that's small potatoes to what some of these people is going to have.
And there are about 800, 8 million people or so are holding currencies. at least, probably a lot
here, more. Here in the United States or all over?
I don't know. It's I thought it was the United States, but I know in other countries there are a lot of holders too. So.
Okay.
So, but it's got, I mean, bankers, they've tried to keep it from the bank employees from finding out about this, even branch managers. But unfortunately, too much time has gone by, and it's looking like the bankers are going to lose a lot of employees once this happens. They wanted to avoid that, but it's just gotten too far. So.
Well, you're right, and even some of these banks don't even want you talking about exchange. You mentioned that now. That's why we don't even do that. We're not interested in it. We don't want none of your money. And they and they do that for a reason, to discourage people. You know, make them think.
They don't want their employees knowing that.
No.
Because there's going to be some very angry people once this happens that missed out.
No. A lot of the bankers are going to go out of bank. A lot of the banks are going to go out of business. Yeah, Tim.
I wanted to mention that a lot of the money that's going to be, you know, coming back into the circulation after this happens, the partial law thing, is in this article, that one of the things it talks about is an executive order signed last year by Trump. It's titled Blocking the Property of Persons Involved in Serious Human Rights Abuse or Corruption. And so he's got a executive order that they can seize the assets of anybody that's involved in corruption. And all the money that is tied up in that these people have just been piling up and piling up and piling up. And so the government, I guess, or the military will be seizing that and doing what they will with those people. But there's, you know, probably brilliant. There was right before 9/11, where they're trying to explain, you know, $5 trillion missing from the Defense Department. And then that all got washed under the rug. So there's a lot of money out there that isn't accounted for, that these people, through corruption, have been hoarding. And so that's all going to be put back into the pockets of the people they took it from, supposedly.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I read an article either yesterday or sometime early this morning about they have discovered $250 million in the Clintons' place in Borneo. You know that island country, Borneo? I believe it's an island country. And they found that she had $250 million that hadn't been claimed in their little country down there. And y'all going to see her go to Gitmo, probably, if they don't kill her first. I don't know, you know, I don't know none of that stuff, but what happened? Okay, somebody messing with me. Okay, but anyway, it looks like it may be happening. I don't know, you know, I hope so. I'm ready to get this ball game on the road. I want to see the anointing. I want to see the revival started, and I want to see God's people prosperous with the gospel. You know, I want to see people coming into the gospel and understanding the truth, knowing the truth. Only way it's going to happen is through God shaking the world, and he's fixing to do that. Hopefully it starts in the morning. We'll see. Yeah, Joe.
I'm good. I just scratched my head.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. When I see a movement, I just think somebody's raising their hand. So I've got good peripheral vision. I didn't see Willie then. Go ahead, Willie.
What's the subject about today? I'm an hour late almost.
Well, you came in late and you missed it. I'm sorry, but we were talking about the emergency broadcast in the morning by the president at 2:30 in the morning a.m. that may or may not be a test. And we've had, you know, I don't know, you probably know about it, I don't know, but anyway, they also had talked about giving the 800 number for the RV, which is the reevaluation of a bunch of countries' currency. And also a rounding up of all the deep state outlaws and evil people tomorrow, next 3 or 4 days. If it happens, it's going to be under martial law. We're going to be under martial law. And what they're telling Christians is just sit back and rest and be in the Word, you know, and don't worry about what's happening out there. They're going to be rounding up. They're going to have them all rounded up by in the next 3 or 4 days. And it's not going to be what you think, where they have to go through a court. It's going to be a military tribunal type of thing where they go up before an officer, a judge advocate, and they'll be sentenced right there. You know, they'll be going, they've got prisons, and of course down in Gitmo, they've been updating that one, been updating some more off the coast of the United States in certain islands that they have, and they've already, I had read about some military personnel that they had trained to escort these people down there and to watch them, be guards for them, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, it looks like everything is in place and they're fixing to do this, so we just have to wait and see. I don't know that this is going to happen. I've seen 2 or 3 sources that tell us that this is probably what's going to happen. QAnon is one. Another one is Mike Adams, and he probably got his stuff from Q. But anyway, it's just 2 or 3 sources out there. Some say, I don't know, some say that Q plus is Trump himself. And that's the first I'd heard of that, and that was yesterday I'd heard that. You know, everybody know what QAnon is, who he is, or what it is? Okay. It's somebody that's real close to the president that talks to him every day. And some are saying that there's one out there called Q+. It comes off the what do they call it, Malcolm? Dark web? Is that it? Yeah, George. You want me to unmute you?
Yeah, like, I don't know anything about dark web other than you've got to have some pretty, you got to be pretty sophisticated to know how to get in there. I understand. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. Go ahead, George.
I was just saying it was 4chan on the
4chan. What's that, George, you said?
The 4chan and 8chan, there's like some dark web collection sites where these guys communicate and share a lot of that stuff. I guess the basically the probably the military guys that were backing Trump to begin with, a lot of those guys in the front line of that group are sharing information, and they'll post something and Trump will post it within seconds, an identical message, and kind of lets everybody know that they're coordinated, shows Secret Service pictures behind the scenes so everybody knows, you know, when he's on the tarmac or whatever's going on. It's just real, you know, sometimes it's detailed, sometimes it's inside baseball, basically.
Yeah. Amen. Now, I understand that there was an attempt on Trump's life while he was in Air Force One yesterday, day before, maybe the last couple of days. I don't know what day it was, from a submarine that sent a missile up there. But y'all know that that the Air Force One has capabilities of thwart missiles and things like that from them by, somebody help me out. What do you call that when you black out all the electrical?
EMP?
EMP, I'm sorry.
Electromagnetic pulse.
Yeah, electromagnetic pulse. And they thwarted that missile. It was from a deep state Israeli submarine and off the coast, somewhere off the coast of the U.S. that did it. I don't know if they sunk the submarine or not. That's all I know about it. Yeah. Yep.
Well, that explains Trump's, I like to listen to little conferences he has with the media, and I see some of his rallies. I like to kind of just see that stuff from time to time. That explains the last couple of days, I guess, is I wouldn't say a sudden change in behavior. I mean, we know he's a very outspoken guy, but I think he had a there for a while. If you see his press conferences about different things, he had one with the recent trade deal with Mexico and Canada. I guess a revised look at NAFTA. And you can tell he is very irritated, just very agitated, or just kind of like, almost on edge. So with what you just said there, I thought, I'm not saying that's why he was acting that way, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. And I think it is some of his rallies, I kind of sense he feels very a major tension, and that's probably spiritual, under a lot of pressure.
There's one thing that, you have to know about Donald Trump, and that's this, that God's hand is on that man. Amen. Or he'd have been dead a long time ago. Amen. He's had over a dozen attempts on his life since he's been in office, is what I've heard. Over a dozen of them. And, it's amazing that he can get out in the open like it. That somebody told us that there is a great big angel that runs around with him. Now, I don't want to mess with him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, anyway, that's God's got his hand on this man. He's going to do what God's ordained him to do. But we need to keep on praying for him, because that's what protects him, is our prayers. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for protecting that man, his family, and Judge Kavanaugh, and all the people that want to make this country great again, Lord. Yeah, Pat.
Just praying with you.
Sorry. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yep. Lord, and I thank you that everybody that's involved will be protected. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have you guys been tracking with this a lot? I feel like I'm out here in right field or something. I missed like the RV. You're talking about RV and various different things. I haven't even been, other than the general understanding that something like this was going to happen, I haven't really been tracking the specifics of it.
Well, you ain't going to get it on CNN. I can tell you that right now. Of course, you know that.
Right.
We're kind of in a unique position over here where we are, because people send us stuff all the time, and people in the fellowship, they'll be, looking it up. We don't make it a point to stay on the web a lot to hunt for that kind of junk. Somebody might see something one day and somebody else something the next day. But this stuff started coming in a couple of days ago, and we started paying a little bit of attention to it, finding out this stuff like it is. Robin gets into that a lot, so she kind of keeps us up to speed on what it is. RV is going to be a big thing for the Christian, it looks like. Remember what happened to the Egyptians when they left, the Israelis, when they left Egypt? They just gave them everything, and they took it out there. They had all that gold and all that stuff with them when they went out into the wilderness, didn't they? For 3 days. 3 days. Get that. Probably about 3.5 days, what I figured.
So when this reevaluation happens, there will be basically what will it will be the government then that is in control of the financial institutions or the financial complex. Is that correct?
That's correct. It won't be a private matter. It'll be people that are trusted in the government. Now, one thing you have to understand is this thing here is also going to right the wrongs that the evil people in government have done. They're taking them out. They're going to be behind bars, or at the very least fired. You know.
So, what does that mean? Translate down to society.
It's going to be a lot of inconvenience for just a short while, and then things will start normalizing out after that. I don't know, a short while, I don't know how long that is, but I don't suspect it's going to be much more than months, you know.
So what does that mean relative to, let's say, your bank account or whatever? It will change in
currency? We always tell people, always get you enough money in cash to last you for, you know, two or three weeks. Always do that. And you should be okay. And if you don't worry about it. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. I believe that with all my heart. I don't have to worry about nothing. Has anybody ever seen gas multiply? I have. David does it all the time. It scares me to death. I ride around him on empty all the time. I say, aren't you going to stop and get some gas? Well, I just don't really want to. Now I need to get on back home. David, stop the car and let's get some gas in this thing. You know, you're scaring me, boy. But, you know, I've seen that happen so many times. I don't say anything anymore. I just go and I said, okay, Lord, I understand. I understand. You're taking care of us. Is that you, Judy, raising your hand? Okay. No, she looked at her, shake that head. No, I ain't saying nothing. Mm-mm, not me. Nope, not the kid. I ain't going to say nothing. Amen.
And I like what David says about sticking his hand down at the bottom of a drawer and there's $5,000 or $8,000.
No, it was $8,000. I was there. $8,000.
See, you don't need to have you hold money.
$1,000. I'm talking $8,000. Might have been 85. I believe it was 85. Hey, not only once, Malcolm. He did it twice. I've been in there many times after that. I'm going to search that. I'm going to look under that mattress of his and see if there's any more money in there. That's right. That's right. And then once was under a mattress and once was under, is when it was in a drawer. I asked him, I said, well, David, which drawer was it that you found that money in? Well, it was this and that. I've been checking that drawer too, buddy. But you know, David had asked the Lord that he needed some money, and the Lord supplied it. And he can do that. You don't have to worry about it. Just know. Don't get anxious about nothing, because God can take care of all of us. If you ain't got no food in your house, just say, Lord, man, I sure would like some spaghetti. Or I sure would like a glass of milk. He put it in there. You just go in there looking, just like he did that time. Y'all remember the time that David sent out a washing machine to get fixed at the Votech school? And they brought it back when he didn't have no money. He said, they called him and said, we're bringing that washing machine back. Said, we got it fixed for you. He said, it's going to be $50. And he said, okay, bring it on. Then he pointed at his mailbox when he hung up, and he said, there's $50 in that mailbox right now, and I'm going to walk over and get it. He walked over, and there's an envelope in there with $50 in it. That's the way God wants us to act. That's the way God wants us to die. You know, a lot of times we put God in a box. Well, he ain't going to do that. Well, yes, he will. If you believe him for it, that's what the word said. You believe the word?
In the mailbox.
In the mailbox. He's pointed at the mailbox. Said, hey, $50 in there for me. I'm going to go over and get it. Walked over and there's $50 in there.
And the reason I said that was you said you don't want to put God in the box.
That's right. Well,
mailbox.
Right. Yeah, I know. Malcolm. And a funny thing about it, that $50 had wandered around in the mail for about 6 months before that. It had wandered out there. The Lord knows that I'm going to put this $50, I'm going to float it around out here until my man needs it. And then I'm going to show myself strong with this man. And when he pointed out there, that $50 was in there. And don't you think he'll do that for us, too? He's not a respecter of persons at all. He'll do it for all of us. I've seen he's multiplied money in my billfold as high as $500 at a time. I'm still hoping for that $8,000. You don't get me wrong, but when you need it, you'll have it. That's what God's telling you. When you need it, you'll have it. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, you know, it's after the reset, sometime there's going to be that anointing, and it'll be whatever we think. And, you know, we're going to be just, it's going to happen. We're going to be given a little more authority and a wisdom and ability to do things in this world that we haven't done before. So there's going to be a difference, a big difference than what you got now.
Amen.
So there's going to be a big difference. All I can say is you're going to be do things that you can't do now.
Yep. The Lord showed us that. He's shown us that. He's shown us that dramatic healings are going to take place. Translations are going to be a regular thing. Translations are going to be a regular thing. People will be translated to other people that are in distress and save them from some whatever and bring them back to safety at the last moment. So don't worry about where you are. If God's got you there, don't worry about it. Because he's gonna help you out. It's not a big deal for God. Okay, anybody else? Got a question or would like to comment on something? Yeah, Sue, go ahead. Sue G.
I was just wondering whether we could pray for, you know, we don't know for sure, but we could pray for protection over Trump and all those officials that are going to be working with him.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, Lord, we just lift up President Trump and all these officials. Lord, we don't know what's going on for tomorrow, but Lord, if they're going to be gathering up these deep state people, we just pray for all those ones that are going out there to do that, that you would just protect them and cover them and keep them from the works of the enemy, that there would no harm come to them. There are no assassination or of any kind to any of these officials or Trump or Pence or anybody in regards to this whole situation, if this is what's going to happen tomorrow. But we just pray for protection anyway, Lord, over them and their families in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Just cover the angels. Angels, cover them. Cover them all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Joe.
I was thinking earlier what you said, Pat, when you were kind of concerned or you had a concern about the money and all that stuff for our accounts. I listened to Stan Johnson from the Prophecy Hour, you know, from time to time recently, and I got this info. But supposedly, what he's going to do is he's just going strictly after the deep state. You know, local, state, federal, level, doesn't matter. So I guess they're not really going to touch our assets from what I understand. But just like Michael and others, you know, like you said, I mean, we don't have to worry about money, you know, just seeing these testimonies about what the Lord's doing. But from what I understand, it's just strictly going after the deep state. We don't have to worry about anything against us. He's there to, it's a temporary martial law to protect, you know, to just take out these criminals and then restore order, like Michael said. So just, there's really no need to worry about, you know, our banks. Cause I think it's like some of the big banks are going to be through this reevaluation, are going to close doors or, you know, but yeah, I think it's basically, you know, we'll see some inconvenience, as you said, Michael, for a little bit, and then, you know, we'll have a better government than we had before. So, yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I just thought about something. I got to rethink it again. Okay. Let it go. And what about anybody else? Yeah, Pat.
So do we, I know we have an emergency number as far as for communication. At UBM, right? In case we need to communicate or case I can see something like the internet going down, pulling the plug on the internet, pulling the plug on actual cell phone use or you know, telephone use or anything. So is in that event, is there a emergency number or emergency way of getting a hold with anybody there?
Here?
Mm-hmm.
Only by angel.
Got it.
We do have radios, and I'll probably have it on. But if they tell us not to do that, I'm not going to have it on. Because they can triangulate a transmission and know where it's coming from almost immediately.
From a ham?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a ham. Malcolm's a ham. There are other hams, you know, that we know about that we can.
Yeah, there's under some martial law, it depends, but if the president makes a decision that no amateur radio communications are allowed, then, you know, that's the decision that's been made. But there may be some amateur radios that are operating under, like, RACES and possibly ARIES. I don't know if they'll allow that, but we'll just see. Doesn't matter, I guess.
Don't you think, Malcolm, it's going to come up to whether or not there's going to be a lot of activity in your area?
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, you can certainly listen. It's just a matter of transmitting.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and plus you don't want to interfere if there's, anyway.
No, not the emergency broadcasting system. But yeah, that's the only line of communications that will be open that I know of. I'm understanding they're going to shut down everything because they don't want the deep state calling one another, you know. And they have the capabilities of shutting your phones off, too. And look, you're going to see Google, Facebook, all of those things look like they're going to be shut down, too. There's a guy, I can't think of his name right off the top of my head, that invented the World Wide Web back in the 80s or the 70s, whatever it was. I don't know when it was. I guess it was.
Yeah, I think that was Al Gore, wasn't it?
Gore was part of it.
Sorry.
No, it wasn't Al Gore. No. This guy's a British guy. And he actually is making another web, another internet access type of thing like the World Wide Web. He's doing another one. It's called Entrust. And it's going to be absolutely driven by individuals and not corporations. In other words, what's happening now at the internet level where we got it right here is not going to happen on this next web that he puts out. And he's going to open it up, it looks like, for tests this weekend. He's been working on them for quite a while. Smart guy. He's right up there, buddy. I can't remember his name. It's Sir something or other. He's been knighted over in England. But he's not that old either. You know? He's about my age. No, he's younger than me. So, yeah, that's a lot of things going on at the same time. So, looks like God is just bringing it all together, doesn't it? Looks like he's bringing it all together, and he's going to make this thing work. First 3.5 years is going to be rough, but it ain't going to be near about as rough as the last 3.5 years. We got to have it all together. Help these folks when they come in. Okay, anybody else? How about some scriptures now so that we don't get anxious, so that we don't get troubled? Has anybody got any good promises out there?
Before the study, I was thinking how in the wilderness their clothes and their shoes did not wear out. I think we'll see a lot of that manna, however you want, whatever the provision is. I think we'll see it all played out again.
Yep, I believe that. I believe you're going to see a parallel to the children of Israel going out into the wilderness. They didn't none of them get sick either. Now some of them got zapped because they disbelieved God and they tried to come against Him. But as far as getting sick. John 14:14 says, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Go ahead, Tim.
Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God is good every thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
Amen. Anybody else got a good word? How about 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9? No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Woo, come on, Jesus. All right, somebody else come up with one now. How come you ain't looking, Joe? You better be looking. Come on now, get that book out. I can get on to him because I'm going to see him here in a little bit. Go ahead, Don. Well, wait a minute, Don. Let me unmute you, brother. Now go ahead.
I was struck by Isaiah 33:15 today. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from taking a bribe, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from looking upon evil. Well, if you're under martial law, that'd be good. You wouldn't have to be concerned about all those looking at blood and looking upon evil. He shall dwell on high, and his place of deference shall be the munitions of rocks. His blood, his bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure.
Amen. I believe they've told us in that in some of those deals there, just stay indoors for the next 3 or 4 days and don't worry about it. So keep out of our way because we take care of business. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's good, Don. Thank you. Yeah, Sue.
Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which surpasses understanding will rule your heart and mind through Christ Jesus.
Amen. That's a good one, too. I like that one.
Yeah, I had to learn that.
Yeah, well, it sounded like you just recited it out your mind.
I did, because so many times I would get anxious, and the Lord would have me, you know, use that scripture so many times. I would get anxious, and I learned that if I was anxious, I didn't have that peace. I mean, even after I prayed, you know, I'd say this prayer, and Lord, I pray this to you. I'm not to be anxious for anything, you know, and then, you know, I'd still not have that peace. And then he'd say, well, you know, you didn't give it to me. You didn't give your anxiety to me because you're supposed to receive the peace. And there's a thing like that I was trying to show my children, my grandchildren about, not my children, but my grandchildren. The example of, you know, when you go fishing, you put the worm on the hook. You can't eat the worm, and you don't want that, but you throw it out there and, you know, let the fish get the worm, but you get the fish. And you know how the fish represents like the peace sign? Or it represents, not peace sign, but it represents the Christians. But it made me think about, if we don't give them our troubles, we won't have any peace. We won't get anything in return. So we have to let them have it. Then we just have to wait on him. Wait patiently.
Well, that's the big thing. It's patience. He's trying. Yeah. He's working out in all of us. His patience. That's the big thing. So that's what we have to have is patience. Yeah, go ahead, Willie.
Sorry, I'm not rushing y'all. But I think in a time like this is, you know, a great scripture that comes to my mind is confess your faults one to another that you might be healed. Because it's going to be a challenging moment. And you just need to, you know, confess to God what you're dealing with in your heart, you know, during these moments, you know, because the Lord wants to use this not only to heal, but to deliver. And unto what Trump is doing with the deep state, I got this scripture, which says, let me read it from, hold on, let me get the right translation I want to read it from. But the scripture said to Pharaoh, or the deep state, even for this same purpose have I raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. And, you know, so, yeah, the Lord raised up the deep state, you know, to show his power against them, you know. And amen.
What's that reference?
That is Romans 9 and 17.
Okay, that's good. I like that.
No, so this is an interesting moment. This is going to be a very interesting moment of bringing the children of Israel, you know, out of bondage and into the wilderness, you know, and seeing the my mom came in. I lost track, but I guess I'll leave it there.
Hey, Mama. All right. Thank you, Willie. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, I just wanted to read Isaiah 43. I was off just for a second. I didn't. Somebody else may have read it, but Isaiah 43, it says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughter is from the end of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. It just keeps going. So, but Isaiah is just full of this nice, yummy bunch of promises.
Amen. All right, anybody else?
Look at verse 43 of that, Malcolm. That one's, you should have kept on reading.
Oh, 40, there's only 28 verses. Were you thinking of a different chapter?
Isaiah 43, isn't that what you said?
Yeah. You said
verse 10.
10, okay, yeah, you're my witnesses, yeah.
That was good.
Go ahead and read that, because I didn't get that far.
Let all the nation, verse 9, let all the nations be gathered together, and let the peoples be assembled, who among them can declare this and show us former things. Let them bring their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Verse 10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved. I have showed, and there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and I am God. Yes, that whole verse is, I mean, that whole chapter is good. That reminds me of Ezekiel, our new covenant in Ezekiel 36. Because it's almost the same talking about the Lord's concern for his holy name. In verse 16, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, and unto me saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their land, they defiled it by their way and by their doings. And their way before me was as the uncleanness of a woman in her impurity. Wherefore I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood which they had poured out upon the land, and because they had defiled it with their idols, and I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to the way and according to their doings, I judged them. And obviously, we're looking at that happening in Christianity since Christ. And when they came into the nations, whither they went, they profaned my holy name, in that men said of them, these are the people of Jehovah, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had regard for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name, which ye have profaned among the nations whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which hath been profaned among the nations, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord Jehovah, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all of the countries, and I will bring you into your own land, the promised land. and I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all of your filthiness, and from all of your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. He's going to make a tremendous, radical change in us as his people. Change us from what we are now into something completely new with a completely new heart of flesh, which I believe has already happened, but not in practicality, I guess. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my ordinances and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God, and I will save you from all your uncleanness. And that reminds me of what Dave was talking about earlier, about the anointing that's coming upon us. But anyway, that's all I had.
Amen. That's good. Anybody else? I think iPad Judy's got something. Go ahead, girl.
Well, I was just going to say all of Psalms 91.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and read it?
Well, you want me to read the whole thing, or you want me just to read like the first chapters, or I mean the first five verses?
Read 91. It's all for us.
The whole thing. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestle. He will cover thee with his pinions, and under his wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall by thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High my habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest they dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent shalt thou trample underfoot. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, sir. That's a good one.
Do you have one?
Another good one would be Psalm 40. Somebody from
Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
Kavanaugh's wife.
Right. Yeah.
That's a good one.
The whole thing is good. Yeah.
Yes, it is. We always try to pray that for somebody, right? That's what you wanted to do, is to pray that for Judge Kavanaugh.
Yeah, she wanted us to pray it for him, her, you know, their whole family.
Right.
Yeah, okay. When you gonna start?
You want me to read it or pray it?
Read it for Kavanaugh.
I've already prayed that before.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a really good one for deliverance delivering us from anything. There's a lot, I'll tell you, there's a lot of scriptures in there.
Well, yeah, yeah. Well, okay, well, let's see what Malcolm's got. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, there was this terrible earthquake and tsunami in Indonesia.
Yeah. How many people have they lost?
What was that again?
How many people have they lost already?
Probably over 1,000 or more, because they just, it's just, anyway, I reviewed some of the footage last night, and very difficult to watch, but there was, you know, a number of places where different videos where the people that holding the camera were praying to Allah, you know, and just heart-wrenching. Anyway, what was really compelling was this up on the structure. There were several videos that different people have posted that were up on this. It was like a parking. It had above, you know, the first floor had parking, the second floor, I mean, up. And then it looked like a mall and some things. But anyway, the footage was taken by somebody standing facing the ocean. And he, in Indonesian, he was calling people and saying, tsunami, tsunami, yelling for everything it was worth. And then you could see him with his hand motioning to come, 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 come. You know, it was like, you know, I thought, I couldn't help but think of it as a spiritual thing. You know, here's this hand of mercy calling to come. And he could see, and of course you can see in the footage from his vantage, you could see these waves coming in. And then he gets more and more urgent. And then in the meantime, motorcycles and cars are flying by on the road just below where the water is about to hit. Those guys are totally clueless. And of course, they couldn't hear him yelling or the other people yelling. Anyway, finally, the water came and it started pushing the cars all over the road. And it was just getting too much for people to try to even get up to the stairs. And then he just starts sobbing. And the next thing, and then you can see this big white wave coming in, which is the much bigger tsunami that followed the smaller one. And so he's just quietly sobbing. He's not calling anybody anymore. And then all of a sudden he says, it's like this alert, you know, oh. And then everybody starts running to get away from that edge because they didn't know if the water was going to get up to where they were. It didn't, but in another video you could hear these people absolutely screaming. It was horrendous. But I think we're going to have to, you know, if the Lord spares us, we're going to have to endure seeing some terrible things. And God is a God of comfort, but it will be hard to watch. You know, it will be hard to watch 1,000 at our side and 10,000 at our right hand. It's just, you wouldn't be human if it wasn't hard on you. And we've seen all that in a number of dreams and visions that people have given, where they just had to just stop and do nothing for a bit. So,
amen.
We just want to be in Christ.
Somebody was telling me today that they're looking, that could be upwards of 1 million folks killed with that tsunami. What they did, they took the tsunami warning off.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the tsunami hit.
And the buoys, a lot of the tsunami water level of buoys apparently weren't working either. I don't know if anything was intentional, but I mean, you look at those islands; they're just fishermen and everybody are right on the water. I mean, there's nothing to protect you, and it's just level going in. It's not like a hill going up; it's just level, a few feet above sea level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lord, we just thank you so much that you're protecting your chosen in those islands out there. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Okay, so go ahead. She's going to read that Psalm 40 as a prayer.
Amen. Lord, we just come to you and we bring these words to you according to your desire. We want to pray for Kavanaugh and his family and even the nation, because that was what they requested, that we would pray this over them and over the nation, over all of us. Lord, we all waited patiently for you, Lord, and you inclined to us and heard our cry. You brought us up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. Lord, we pray you continue to bring us up out of the pit, out of the works of the enemy, Lord. And you set our feet upon a rock, making our footsteps firm. You put a new song in our mouth. Lord, continue to put our feet upon a rock, the rock Jesus. And you put a new song in our mouth, a song of praise to you, Lord God. Keep us singing to you, Lord. Keep us following you in song and hymns and songs, that many would see and fear and will trust in you, Lord, because of our trusting in you and our desiring to follow you, Lord, that many would see the need for that for themselves as well. How blessed are we who has made you, Lord, our trust, and we have not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood or lies. Lord, thank you, Father, that you, Lord God, will deliver us from the proud and from any people that lie, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Father, that the wonders which you have done for us and helped us and your thoughts towards us, there's none to compare with you, and that we would declare them, Lord. I pray that we would declare all that you've done for us and all that you've given us, and that we, because there's so many things that you have helped us with, Lord, that we would be that vessel that would be able to bring forth your life and your light to all those that don't know how great you are, Lord. Sacrifice and meal offerings you have not desired. You've not desired us to just do for ourselves. You've desired for us to follow you and allow you to work out of us, not ourselves. Lord, thank you, Father. You've opened up our ears and burnt offering, sin offerings you have not required, but that you require for us to have this word in our hearts and our minds, to live your word out, Lord. As it says, then I said, behold, I come, in the scroll of the book is written of me. Lord, we delight to do your will, Lord. Your law be written in our hearts, Lord. That is your desire, and we desire that too, Lord God. Lord, thank you, Father, that we will also proclaim glad tidings of righteousness in the midst of all the people, all your people, and that we will not restrain our lips. We will not restrain our lips, but we will speak forth your greatness to the people, Father God, as your word says. And you know, Lord, that we have not hidden your righteousness within our hearts, because we're walking them out. We have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation to one another and to many. And we have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation, from the people, Father God, because you are so great and you are so wonderful and you have delivered us from so many things, Father. We just thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, you will not withhold your compassion from us. We thank you, Father, for that, for your loving kindness and your truth. We thank you, Father, that you will continually preserve us from the, and you will keep us from the evils, that you will, even when all the evil is all around us, you will cover us and you will keep us, Lord, and our iniquities have taken us that we are not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs of our heads, and our heart has failed us. But Lord, we know that you will deliver us, even as we ask that if we are going through anything, any of your people are going through anything, Lord, please deliver us and make haste, Lord, that you would be our help. let those be ashamed that have come against us and humiliated us, that they would be ashamed that because we seek you, Lord, and that because those ones that destroy our want to seek after our life to destroy it, Lord, let us be turned away back and Lord, delight. I'm sorry, wait a minute.
It's 10 o'clock.
Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in our hurt. Yes, Lord, keep the enemy away from us. Keep them away and put them to shame. And those that are appalled because of will be of their shame. Let all those who seek you, Lord, help us all to continue to seek you. We thank you, Father, that we would rejoice and seek you and be glad in you. And that those who love your salvation will continually say, you are, Lord, you be magnified. And Lord, we thank you, Father, because when we get afflicted and needy, that you, Lord, will be mindful of us and your help, for you are our help and our deliverer. And Lord, we just pray that when we go through things, that you will not delay, that you will help us and gain us and draw us and keep us in you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, couldn't end it on a better prayer, could we? Don't got anything else while we're still up. We unmute everybody. Okay, everybody's unmuted. Well, God bless you. If we don't see you again Thursday, we'll see you when we come back up. If anybody needs anything, pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Y'all be blessed.
I'll be blessed.